Good morning. In a moment, Nate Shorkin will be baptized. And this means a lot to me because he's my brother-in-law. And I'm really happy for him. Although there's nothing special about this water, baptism is very important. It's important because of the one who commanded it. Jesus Christ commanded that his followers be baptized in his name. And so what does baptism mean? It means that once you believe and are saved, you are in Christ and Christ is in you. And because of that, when Christ died, you died. Christ died for our sins. When Christ died, you died. When you go under the water, that old life that you had, that old life before you were a Christian, that old life is buried. And then you come out of the water, which symbolizes new life in Christ. You've been made a new creation. And so this is symbolic of what has already happened in Nate's life. And Nate would like to share that with you. Nate?
Hello, everyone. Hello. I'm very excited to be up here. And even more excited to be up here, I'm excited about someone. Someone that's worked in my heart and is working in my life. I want to tell you about what God has done in my life and what he's doing in my heart and what he's done in my heart. No one's forcing me to be up here, but it's out of a desire to obey the Lord. I want to please him. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Nathan, I was introduced. Everything I believe and I know to be true can be found here in the Lord's Word, in the Bible. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that I'm a sinner, and as a sinner, I'm deserving of hell, eternal separation from God. God is righteous and just, and he cannot tolerate sin in his presence. In Romans 6:23, we read, "For the wages of sin is death." And in John 8:34, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who has committed sin is a slave of sin." We are born into the world as sinners, and I was a slave to sin. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick." That is where sin starts, in the heart. And as much as I've tried, I couldn't stop from sinning. This is who I was before giving my life over to Christ and before wanting to live for him. As a son of a father and mother who are missionaries in Brazil, learning about God, about Jesus, going to church, and reading the Bible were all very familiar to me at a very young age. As far back as I can remember, I have never doubted the truth of the gospel, of God's word, and I've made several professions of faith as a child and later as a teenager. But as I grew to be an adult, I found myself distracted by the temptations of the world, and sin crept back into my heart and my life. Over and over, God would use different things in my life to try and capture my attention and turn my focus onto what is important above all else, my personal relationship with Jesus, with God. Some of these things included painful motorcycle accidents, failed relationships, even a failed marriage. None of these seemed to deter me from trying to have things my way, even when they ended in misery, disappointment, and heartbreak. But the Lord is relentless in his pursuit of me, his desire for me to get to know him, to have a personal relationship with him. The distractions of the world began to lose their appeal and my soul longed for something deep, something meaningful, something or someone who really mattered. I would remember verses and passages of the Bible that I had memorized at home and in church as a child. The truth of the Bible, the truth of these verses, would repeat themselves in my head, reminding me of exactly what and who I was missing. I knew there was only one person, one relationship that could fill that void. Only one person could give me real purpose, real meaning, and who loved and cared for me at a level and to a degree that no one else on this world could. I knew that person could only be Jesus Christ, my Creator, my Redeemer, the Son of God, who poured his life out on the cross so that I might be forgiven. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the richness of his grace, which he lavished upon us." In John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." That's what Jesus wants for me. He wants abundant life for me. I have finally found my true purpose in life, to live for the Lord, the one who died a horrific death on the cross to pay for my sin, to acknowledge him in all that I do, and to give him praise for all that he has done. As the well-known hymn says, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Since renewing my faith in the Lord, he has blessed me with a changed heart, a heart that desires to walk in the way of the righteous, a heart that wants to obey him. He has blessed me with a wife who also loves the Lord, and he continues to work in my heart daily, convicting me of sin and encouraging me to live for him. This confirms his promise he spoke through Paul in Philippians 1:6. "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Thank you.
Hey, Nate. Is your life about Nate Shorkin, or is your life about Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ.
Is Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior?
He is.
Based on your profession of faith...
Whoops, a little too eager.
Based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just stay right here. Let's pray for Nate. Father, we thank you for the work that you've been doing in Nate's life. We thank you that you are a faithful God. We thank you for sending your son to come save Nate. And we do pray, Lord God, that his love for you would grow more and more, stronger and stronger. We pray that the gifts and abilities that you've given him, he would use to further your kingdom. And we do ask, Lord, that he would be a finisher of the faith. We pray this in your name. Amen.